Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk, a show dedicated to exploring all aspects of creating a great dental office, where the only dumb question is the question that's not asked. Here's Jim and Han.
Good evening. Jim Jarvis here, along with my co-host, Han Tron. Han, how are you?
I am great, Jim. Good to be back. We were out for 2 weeks, and I was out for two weeks, and I'm getting... the shakes from withdrawal.
Yeah, we're getting cabin fever, whatever you want to call it. We're back at it. Sorry for the hiatus. I actually had a pretty major dental procedure the last show, and trust me, you wouldn't have been able to understand a word I said after almost 3 hours in the dental chair. So back at it. Everybody is happy. Things are looking good. So tonight's show, kind of interesting topic when Han and I were talking about what we wanted to speak about when we got back at this. Liability. What you don't know will hurt you. Now, I want to preference tonight's discussion with several things, but the most important is Han and I are not attorneys. We're architects, we're designers. But we've been involved in this business for many, many, many years. So the real-world advice that we're going to talk about, the real-world instances, the issues, are things that, you know, we want to help to give this knowledge to you, because there's a lot of things we're going to talk about tonight that most people don't even know exist or occur. And so please take what you hear tonight. If it's, you know, it's germane to what you're dealing with, speak with your professional advisor, speak with your lawyer, speak with your insurance representative. You know, Han and I don't sell insurance. We're not licensed to sell insurance. That's not what we're here for, and that's not what we do, and that's what tonight's show is not about. But we want to at least get that out of the way so that you understand this is – straight talk, real world experience, hopefully be able to give you the right questions to ask that you can talk with your professionals. So liability results from what, Han?
Oh, it could be omission error. It could be injuries on the job site. Liability is a pretty broad terminology. When you deal with
it basically results from risk. Now, we all know what liability is when it comes to why you have liability insurance for yourself, for your business, for your practice, for your building, all those kind of things that we know about. But when you're dealing with the construction process or the development process, there's a bunch of additional liabilities that we're going to review tonight that you need to be aware of and be able to protect yourself from. Now, it's actually broken into two areas. One has to do with the liability during the design and planning process. And that's our first area we're going to discuss. And the second is liability during the construction process. Now, there's other subcategories, and we're going to discuss those as much as we can in the next hour. But let's jump into the first part, the design and planning process. And actually, that's the reason why we're doing this show, because, Han, you had brought to our attention that there's been a pretty major discussion about the whole issue of professional liability insurance and what happens with some of the processes out there that end up resulting in the design team, if you want to call it that, not having professional liability insurance. So what is professional liability insurance when it relates to the architectural design team? Well, in a nutshell, professional liability insurance, also which can be called errors and omissions insurance, it has a couple names, but this insurance is covered by and held by the architect, meaning folks like myself and Han. We have to we provide a professional liability insurance certificate to you, the owner, when you sign an agreement with us, and that gives you, the owner, some protection. You know, that protection is in the sense that it covers multiple things, some of which you may not think it should cover, and some of the things you think it should cover, it doesn't. But professional liability insurance is there for that reason, that those errors and omissions. And everybody says, well, that means that if Han and I forget to draw a 2x4 on the particular drawing detail, that you can file a claim with our professional insurance liability provider, and the provider will pay for that 2x4 to be installed in your construction. Well, that's the absolute wrong definition of what professional liability insurance is for. Professional liability insurance for the architectural design team has to have the issue of neglect, in that here's a prime example. Han and I design a dental office, and we represent to you that it has all the disciplines in the construction documents that are going out to bid. So, for example, it has all the life safety code issues. It has all the issues as opposed to structural, the mechanical, the electrical, the plumbing. And in that set of documents, our engineer, for example, the electrical engineer, forgets to put in an electrical system, a lighting system, for example. Not that he forgot to put a light in. He forgets to put a lighting system in, but we represent to you that it actually was in there. Okay, that's a prime example of errors and omissions and neglect. Now, don't get us wrong. If something goes wrong during the process and you as an owner get upset, your attorney is going to say, okay, we sue everybody, and then we shake out who's the actual person who is at fault and at issue. So this liability insurance does two things. It covers you and it covers us. We've talked about before, haven't we, Han, how construction is can be a very nasty business, but at the same time can be very, very, very expensive for errors. In a heartbeat, you can actually have errors that can result in hundreds of thousands of dollars, which a lot of times are more than our fee and effectively could bankrupt any organization, and resulting in you left holding the bag with nobody able to fulfill the necessary requirements and finish the project. So professional liability insurance provides those kind of protections and gives you a level of comfort, because not everybody can get it. Professional liability insurance is, you know, it costs us money. We have to pay for it, just like you do in your practices having to do with your dental work. And it's based upon our level of expertise, what kind of projects we do, and whether we've had claims or no claims, or whether we've had a great track record or no, you know, or a terrible track record. Now, knock on wood, thank goodness, I've never had a professional liability insurance claim filed against me in the 30 plus years that I've been doing business. So,
yay.
Yeah, perfect track record so far.
I do have a question, Jim.
Yeah, go ahead.
Professional liability insurance, it is a requirement by the state for you to practice architecture and or engineering services, isn't it?
Actually, it's not.
It's not?
It's not a requirement as part of a licensure registration for this, for any state that I know of. Now, are we recommending that you have someone that has it? Absolutely. So if you don't use us, use somebody that does. Because, Han, our whole discussion started around the practice of, okay, you get a set of documents that you're told to go find someone through the builder that will stamp those drawings that you can then get a building permit on and build this project that has been designed. Well, what's missing in that equation? A design team that doesn't have a professional liability insurance, right?
That is predominantly yes. I think the discussion, Jim, usually had twofold. The recommendation is the design organization, because that's what they market themselves as. No name is needed to be mentioned. They charge a fees for their work, and they should be compensated for their work. I think where it exposed the client to greater risk is the advocacy to take it that work, which is not done by a licensed professional, and give it to a contractor to find a engineer. Typically, that's the premise, is that in most states an engineer can seal a set of drawing that was done as qualified architectural services. And not the other way around. So an engineer for a few hundred, a few thousand dollars, would put his seal on the drawing and submit it for a permit. Whether the discussion come up whether that engineer is licensed, whether that engineer have liability insurance or not is never a part of the discussion. It would be rather rude if something goes wrong and the owner end up having to or being informed that the error admission now fall directly squarely on the shoulder of the owner to resolve, because the people the organization that did the design are not licensed architectural engineer. They don't have the liability because since they're not licensed, they're not liable for their work that they've done. The people that actually seal the drawing, step up and say, I did the work, I'll take the responsibility and the liability. But you can see how quickly it can get really, really messy, very, very expensive, and that discussion are spoken openly, almost like it's just a nonchalant, just the way things is. And this episode of Straight Talk is to at least educate the listener of the potential and. Again, Jim said we're not attorneys, we're not insurance agents, and our discussion are not meant, or the intent is not to be fear-mongering, but rather on an educational level, so that way you can be, you the client, you the building owner, can be more informed in moving forward, whoever you choose to work with, so that you know that you can put things in place to protect yourself. This is a major CYA. That's all it is. It helps reduce your risk. Jim?
Yeah, so the the takeaway from this beginning of our discussion is the very first thing you want to get is from your design team, whoever that entity is going to be, is how am I covered utilizing professional liability insurance? And if you can't get a straightforward answer to that that is satisfactory to your legal team, then be forewarned. Be very careful. Because just as Han said, you then take that all on your shoulders for all issues. Now, you may say, guys, you know, you just said you haven't, in 35 years, you've not had a professional liability insurance claim. But it's kind of like catastrophic insurance in the sense that, you know, you want to prepare for the worst and hope it never happens. Because at one time that you're not protected is when it happens. And then you have to deal with that. And it could be it effectively could destroy your career or destroy your practice specifically, because we're talking about large sums of money and long durations. We all know how legal processes work. They take forever and sometimes on the realm of years to get resolved. We've talked about it before. How much does it cost you every month to not have that 10 operatory working? That's $30,000, $25,000 a month times 12. Yeah, that's a ton of money that just sits there, not making you money. You'll never get it back. And on the if come that you win or break even or typically settle, which is what happens so much nowadays, you'll end up, you know, pennies on the dollar or half, splitting the costs here and there. It just becomes, Han, you said it, it just becomes a nightmare. It becomes messy. And it's not really necessary. If you do your homework and get that team member that has the professional liability insurance, giving you and them the protection that you need to have. Now, just a couple of quick examples of what actual professional liability insurance, why you would use it and how you would use it. And again, it has to do with neglect. It has to do with actual harm. We haven't talked about that, but you have to be harmed. And not that your feelings got hurt, but there has to be physical or financial harm that occurs. So, if the building is under construction, or even if the building is built and a floor falls down, okay, that's a form of, okay, you get to bring in professional liability insurance and find out why the building floor structurally was not properly whatever and someone got hurt. Well, you've got the issue of, okay, the building fell down, there's financial issue, and then also you've got the hardship of lost revenue and also that someone got hurt. And so there's harm there, both financially and potentially physically. Another example is we design the system. Well, let's say we design the roofing and we put it on a particular roofing material that we specifically spell out, and it is installed incorrectly by the contractor or the subcontractor. Not unknowns to us, you know, we don't know it. And it ends up leaking. The building has damage to it, and you've lost revenue because you can't use those particular operatories. Now, our professional liability insurance would ultimately find that we didn't have an error or an omission. The contractor did. And we're going to talk about that because that has to do with the construction side of it. So as we said, what happens is the minute there's something that goes wrong, everybody gets drug into the fight, the battle. And then it's shake out the tree and find out who actually is the one responsible for. Unfortunately, in this day and age, a lot of time what happens is the entity with the largest professional liability insurance ends up settling a lot of times. And granted, you're protected and you're covered and, you know, you get the thing fixed. But sometimes the guilty party not necessarily is the one that ends up paying for it. But if you don't have a group that's on your team that have the professional liability insurance, you're, how do you say it, Han? SOL. You don't have anywhere to go. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's correct. It's, you just gotta make sure that everybody is, everybody is covered. I'm a little bit on the reserve side of things, because a lot of this project that we do, especially for, when we talk about dentist office, they're not large buildings. And often the tendency of wanting to show your friends, show your family, that, the progress of the projects and stuff like that, you inadvertently bring your friends and family onto an active work zone, a construction zone, and expose them to risk, expose yourself to potential litigation if they hurt themselves, step on a nail, trip on the shoelace and fall against the wall or fall down the stair, all those things. So you can't do enough on a project to protect your assets, protect your business, protect yourself. So the liability, this is, I mean, yeah. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, that falls under the construction liability category. And right, we're going to talk about that. So, but from a professional liability insurance, here's another thing that you want to make sure. Just because we as the architects have professional liability insurance, you want to make sure that the complete design team have professional liability insurance. So the consulting engineers, the electrical engineer, the mechanical engineer, the plumbing engineer, the structural engineer, your civil engineer, all your engineering team members should have their own professional liability insurance to cover their component of that. Because unless you're in it, it follows the contract. Remember that it follows the contractual form. So if you have a contract with the architect, then only the architectural portion is covered by the professional liability insurance for the architect, if that makes sense. So if there's a plumbing issue, and unless the architect is providing the plumbing service as part of their scope of work, you can't file a claim against the architectural side. So you need to make sure that the engineers have their professional liability insurance in place as well, just like the architectural team. Now, what have we talked about in the architectural side, hon? Do we miss anything?
No, I think you got the professional liability insurance for all the team member. I think we got the cost of everything there, Joe.
Yeah. And so, again, the takeaway is just make sure that your design group, however you're going to do this process, if you don't utilize us, make sure they have that and are able to answer, how am I protected from a professional liability insurance aspect? So the other part that liability occurs during the construction renovation, and these occur for this is germane to building a brand new building, remodeling an existing building and turning it from some other use to a new dental office, or even remodeling your existing dental office. Okay, all of these are germane to what we're talking about, and that's construction liability. Now, construction liability, there is just a menagerie of things that we want to talk about, but the biggest one, and Han, you alluded to it, is the general liability insurance that you need to have for just that reason during construction. If someone is hurt, or if someone is something happens on your particular building while it's under construction, you are covered. And that could be that it falls over, a wall collapses, whatever the particular issue is, and especially if someone hurt. And you know, Hunt, what was the story about? You had someone that walked on the site and did what?
Yeah, I mean, if you have, let's say, after hours, you got a project. Majority of them are not fenced in, so it can't be locked. The building may be locked, okay, so they can't get into the building, but they can still walk onto the property. And that's trespass. They're curious and all that stuff, and they trip and hurt themselves. Okay, now, yeah, they're clumsy or stupid or whatever reason is, but in this crazy world we lived in, they blame you for tripping over their own shoelace. Okay? It's crazy, but you need to have liability coverage for those incidences because it could make your life really complicated. Right? Because people get it, people will go onto the site and check things out, take a little close look to see what's there. Okay, I was at a building project looking at in the evening, and I look up and there's a face plastered against the window from the outside. Well, that individual was a local dentist who was curious of what's going on, and the progress of that building, and he actually walked into the site, take a look for himself, and that was at night. Okay, so general liability insurance, we can't make it any more stronger that you should have it, have coverage for that to protect yourself from those kind of curious onlookers.
Yeah. And we need to make the definition that is different than contractors' liability insurance. Okay. Contractors' liability insurance is, let's say you have a general contractor. That contractor has liability insurance for his workers to protect them against injury, accident, property damage, anything that happens during the construction process for he and his people or the people that he hires. He didn't hire that dentist that walked on the job. He didn't hire that young kid that walked onto the property and fell down the elevator shaft. So his general liability insurance will not cover that. And that goes back against you as the property owner. So you got to be real careful. Here's another one. Talk to your insurance carrier and also your legal team about having for the duration of the construction, general liability insurance to protect you from, unfortunately, illegal activities. And even if the building is fenced in, it still doesn't matter. They climb the fence, get hurt while they climb the fence, and still continue to do something, you're still at risk. Hon?
Jim, the contractor having liability insurance to cover his crew, his sub. The sub should also have their own, insurance. But there's other individuals that are involved in the project that come onto the site during the construction. Would be your equipment people, your furniture people. If you hire an interior designer, you know, and so yeah, there is people that are part of the team, but not necessarily part of the team under the umbrella and protection of the GC. Then it would fall under your, your liability insurance protection.
Yep. Right, the building official, the fire marshal, the inspectors, the zoning folks. We've had planning and zoning board members walk through projects. All those people are not covered under the contractor's general liability. They're out there on their own. And because of that, they should be covered. You should be able to cover them through your own general liability insurance for the duration of the construction itself. And thankfully, it's just for the period of time of construction, from the day you begin to the day that you get your construction, you get your CO, your construction occupancy. And then your normal general liability insurance that you have for your building would kick in and take over from that. So this is only for that period of time during construction. And that's a really important point, Han, that there are a lot of people that maybe aren't trespassing, but actually are on the job, but you need to be protected from potentially any harm that would fall them. Construction sites are dangerous. They are one of the most dangerous places you could be in. Because extremely dangerous. One little slip, one little miscalculation, one little stumble, and it literally can be fatal. Or a major catastrophe to someone. And so you have to be so, so careful. Please, I guess this is a sidebar in the sense that if you take anybody through your construction site while it's one, either under construction, or two, after hours, be beyond extra careful. You know, taking family and friends through your construction site might be the coolest thing. Well, you're so proud of it. You want to show it off. You want to, honey, this is where all the money's going. And, this is where, the magic's going to happen. Just be so careful, because especially at night, and a lot of times there's not always a lot of illumination. The life safety components are not in. They may not be completed. Handrails may not be in place. Guardrails may not exist at that particular time. There might be temporary ones, but it's an extremely dangerous time. You've got rebar that's sticking up over here in this area, or things that are hanging down from the ceiling are over there. People can get easily really badly injured. And so just be forewarned. I know a lot of construction companies that will not allow the owner to take anyone through the project. One, while it's under construction during normal working hours, they just can't come through. That is a requirement. It's in their contract. They won't let it happen. And two, a lot of them will say, and you can't come into the property after hours without an escort or without some particular arrangement in advance, because it is so dangerous. You were going to say, Han?
I've been involved. I have been involved in projects where part of the part of the management of traffic coming to the project is that they go to the visitor, regardless who it is, including the owner, go to the the job trailer, which is rather rare for a dentist's office, but they report to the superintendent and sign in their name, their contact, who they are, what they're there for and stuff like that. And then once they're done with their taking care of the business there, they sign up, because that's part of the, you know, how they protect themselves from people that are there for a legitimate reason and things like that. So, you know, proper footwear, proper head protection. I mean, you name it. You just can't protect yourself enough, because that is such, it's a place that one little slip and you could be hospitalized or worse.
Right, exactly. So, you know, another example, be forewarned, but please do not walk on a construction site without a hard hat on. You may say, well, that's crazy looking. Well, I don't care. Do not walk on a job site without a hard hat on, because a falling object, even a small falling object from not very high, will do a lot of damage to your noggin. And it's crucial. The same, you know, there's things called OSHA, which basically has to do with the requirements of a project under construction for the workers. And, you know, they mandate things like having safety equipment on, having hard hats, goggles, and proper footwear, visibility stuff, and, you know, that kind of stuff. That's a mandatory. But if you walk on that job, make sure you have a hard hat. And without a doubt, don't let anyone walk on that job in a pair of tennis shoes. Because a pair of tennis shoes, you step on a nail, will penetrate a pair of tennis shoes like butter, a hot knife through butter. And the next thing you know, someone has just impaled their foot with a nail. I've learned I've learned that from experience.
Yeah.
My younger years, back when I was young and stupid, and my family is a construction family, and you know, I'm kind of hard-headed, I guess. I had to learn the hard way, and I walked in onto a job construction in a pair of tennis shoes, stepped on a nail. That nail went through that tennis shoe, and you know, tetanus shots are not fun. they just aren't. And a lesson learned. Never happens again. You do not walk on a construction site in a pair of tennis shoes. You have the necessary footwear to protect yourself, because it is very, very dangerous. Very, very dangerous area.
Yeah, when the things that you don't take into consideration on a project site is that nowadays pneumatic guns are very common. Those could be high caliber explosive that drive the, you know, that drive the nails and stuff like that. You know, there is instances where, you know, they people are killed, really killed from by the, you know, using the gun that in their hand shot them to the wall, it ricocheted and killed them. So there is, you know, the level of hazard on the project site is, you know, it's unbelievable. I mean, it's not walking into the park and gallygagging out there. We advise that you, you know, if you do go out there, at least make sure that you have proper protective equipment and, you know, watch out for yourself.
Yeah. And the people that, anybody that you bring onto the property with you, heavy equipment, backhoes, you know, excavators, those things are designed to move massive amounts of weight and material, cranes, overhead stuff. Any little accident that happens, you know, could be potentially fatal. So be very, very, very careful when you do that. And if at all possible, don't. You know, just resist the idea of walking onto the property at any given time. Just, you know, I know you want to go see it and you want to see what's going on, but especially during the early part when things are not as secure and the life safety things aren't in place, the doors and the windows and the railings and all the things necessary to be able to at least protect yourself. Well, another part of the construction liability issue is something called builder's risk insurance. Now, what the heck is that? Am I talking about my builder and I need to have insurance for his risk? Well, actually, this is something that you want to make sure that your builder has. Now, this goes, remember how we said your architectural team needs to have professional liability insurance? Well, your builder needs to have builder's risk insurance. Now, he's going to charge you for it. So, okay, that's what it is. But you want to make sure that he has it, because what it basically covers is any risk, any damage that happens to the structure during construction. So let's say they were welding and some sparks lit the wood that was over in that particular area on fire, and a part of the building was damaged by fire. Okay, it covers that. It covers wind. You say wind? Yeah. I had a company I was working for over in northeastern Ohio, and our organization, it was a design build firm. We had a big retail center that was under construction. This is way back in the 70s. And a large storm came through. There was it was a supported wall, but it wasn't totally supported. 150 feet of block wall that stood 35 feet in the air came down. Let me see. A block wall got pushed down by wind? You bet it did. It came down, crashed, destroyed a bunch of material, destroyed a bunch of the building. That falls under the builder's risk insurance. Now, that same incident kind of thing happened at another project that thankfully we weren't associated with, where someone got killed. And so there was financial damage along with physical harm. So another area is theft. So if your kid that down the road walks onto the site and says, hey, that's a pretty cool looking whatever, I'm going to take that home with me. Well, that was something you needed. You know, I'm going to take that home and put it in my bedroom, hang it on the wall as a trophy. It covers theft. Lightning. Most people don't know. Well, lightning? Yeah, lightning. Because your building is not completed, it may not have, especially like Han, in your neck of the woods, the lightning capital of the world.
That's right.
Lightning strikes could happen while your building's under construction just as much as while it's been completed. And a lightning strike can do substantial damage. You need to have builder's risk insurance to cover that. Things like hail, explosion. And you say, wow, this is some serious stuff. Well, yeah, it is serious. But let's say your building's under construction and there's a small gas leak because whatever was done improperly, and the gas build up in the basement area. And next thing you know, when someone turned on the light switch, boom, spark ignites. You got to make sure it's covered. Vandalism?
Jim?
Yes, hon.
Would this cover this? Okay, here's an incident that I worked on a huge building. We used laser screed technology to pour a beautiful concrete slab with a manufacturing facility. Once they're done and open the door and, you know, turn on all the water and all that, you know, everything's pumping along, and discover there's a huge bulge underneath the slab. And they discovered that the piping that was designed for the building they used the wrong type of PVC pipe that could not withstand the extreme heat or hot water that go through it, and melt the pipe. Okay? That was an expensive repair. With the contractor liability insurance, that covered that kind of mishap, right?
Absolutely. Well,
very good.
The other part, the one last thing, that it covers vehicles and actually aircraft. So a good builder's risk insurance will cover your building from damage for those kind of things. Now there's some exclusions, and you got to be forewarned of these. Earthquake. Typically, an earthquake is not a covered event. So if you're in an earthquake prone area, make sure you get a special rider to cover your building during, for builder's risk insurance, make sure that they have it in place during construction for earthquake. I like this one. Employee theft. So if a employee of the builder decides to steal something, that falls under a criminal act, the civil event, and it's not covered under builder's risk. But you have a different approach to look at that, and that's a civilly to go after them to get yourself covered. Water damage in the sense of weather and flooding. So if you're in a flood-prone or water damage-prone area, like low areas in, for example, Florida, where you have hurricanes, all those kind of things, make sure you have a special rider that's in there to be able to cover those. But be forewarned, it doesn't cover water damage from weather. Obviously, things like government action, war, those kind of things, all just as any normal insurance, risk insurance, are excluded from builder's risk. Now, this builder's risk insurance is just like the other insurances we're talking about. They only cover the period of time from the building construction start to your construction occupancy. And then your other construction or your other liability insurance would then take over from that. Han, you were going to say something?
No, I was just listening.
Okay. All right. Now, I guess the other area, and there's a bunch of other kind of liabilities / insurances / risk discussions we can have, but there are things like performance bonds. That has to do with your ability to the contractor to perform and whether you want to ensure. I mean, typically these kind of things happen on a much larger project than a dental project, but it might be something you want to investigate. At least you want to, you're basically putting a policy to ensure that your builder performs. Now, we've had it happen, so don't think it doesn't, where a builder gets some part way through the construction of the project and something happens and they disappear or they go belly up or they file for bankruptcy or they abscond with the last pay application and take off to the Caribbean. I mean, that stuff happens. And guess who's left holding the bag? You are. Han, we've had that happen in one of our projects, haven't we?
That's right. It did. I mean, after, you know, 30-some years in this industry, we have heard about it. You know, it happened to other people. But we experienced it on a project where, you know, most of this project are financed, okay? A few of our projects are self-financed. So when that kind of stuff happened, the project owner is now have less money to work with and a unfinished project. It put a lot of stress in your life really, really quickly. Okay. This is not a story. This actually happened. We had an incident where the contractor walked with about 65% of the project budget, and he only had done about 30% of the work. Okay, there's a lot of check and balance that are put in place to protect the project, the client, and all of that. And if the contractor are able to put their arms around your shoulder and smile and call you your best friend, beware. Okay, because your money is going to be gone. All you have to happen is once, and that's an expensive lesson learned. You can't protect yourself enough. We have system in place, protocols, or how projects handle. But any time that those protocols are bypassed, you are exposed to greater risk. Jim?
Yeah, exactly. And that risk is just, in that particular example, you have the owner, the dentist, who's expecting to have his project up and running, is now having to deal with the issue that I have a building that I can't occupy. It's not complete. And I don't have enough money in my construction account to finish it. I can't even hire someone else with the leftover money that's there to finish this particular project. So that's, that's what that is for. It basically provides that cushion in that particular case. Now, obviously, meaning the insurance company, is going to pay out that particular claim, get you made whole, get the project moving forward with another contractor, get you into the building where you should be so you can start making money and moving forward with your success. And then they're going to go after that first contractor with all of their powers that be to recoup that money. And that includes things like criminally and everything else. But that's not your responsibility, nor should be your worry. You need to worry about moving forward with your project and getting your new practice up and running. So, it does happen. Now, there are checks and balances in place, but sometimes those checks and balances get circumvented. That's why criminals are criminals. They don't listen to the law. That's why they're a criminal. And so when they have an opportunity to do those kind of things and they do that, then you have to protect yourself. I mean, the typical, I guess in that particular case, the thing to take home from is one, do not, and I repeat, do not pay large sums of money up front to any contractor on your job. The typical arrangement, which should be the only arrangement, is you pay for work that is completed and or material that is installed, and you pay it 30 days after the fact, because that's typically how long a pay application should in fact take. So builder is in the process of doing the drywall, and he's got a whole bunch of material sitting over in the warehouse, and that's been verified and certified. And here's the values that are there under a normal pay application. And that pay application is reviewed by us. It's reviewed by the owner. And then it is given to the lending institution, which any good lending institution should, in fact, review it as well, before the payment is made. So in that particular case, two things fell apart. One, the owner authorized the payment without the design team signing off on the payment request. And then the bank, the lending institution, made the payment without verifying what the payment request was for. So effectively, two of the three checks and balances were circumvented, and the builder got away with it. Now, I've never heard about the result on that, Hon. Did they ever find the individual or anything? Have we ever gotten any feedback from what happened there, or are they still at large?
I think I think he's having breakfast with Jimmy Hoffa.
Who?
I'm just kidding. He's from New Jersey. I think there's an awful lot of people that they owe money to. So I don't know what happened to the GC. In fact, we have not have any additional correspondence with the client. So I don't even know how he's doing with his practice. He did have to find additional money to subsidize the balance of the project, because the contractor not just took the money, but he didn't pay the subs. So before the subs can continue with the work, they've got to be paid. So they would come back onto the site, hired directly by the client, so that they can finish the job. So it was a very expensive lesson. I'll name, okay? The banking institution is Bank of America. Their attitude was that, well, the owner gave them the pay app, and they don't need to do anything else except pay it. That was, in my opinion, that was a wrong answer. The contractor knew that he should provide the pay app to us, the architect, to review and approve. But instead, because the client come onto the job site on a daily basis, he just handed it to the client. The client had been advised not to do that, but the client ignored it and just simply gave it to the bank and so on. So that was we do our best to educate the client so that they are informed of what is required and what's good, what's right, and what's wrong. And in this case, they basically ignore everything and was financially hurt by it.
And it's a very sad. It's actually a very sad story. Now, in the few minutes that we have left, I want to address one area that we've not talked about, and that has to do with the construction management process of building your building. Now, you've heard us talk about construction managers versus general contractors. In a construction management scenario, effectively, you, the owner, take some of the responsibility for some of the risks that typically a general contractor would take. So what you would do is, in essence, you would then take your subcontractors, meaning these happen to be called trade contractors now, the trade contractors would be held to the same responsibility as the general contractor would when it came to liabilities, meaning liability insurance, general liability insurance, construction liability insurance, and performance liability insurance as well. So you want to make sure you're still covered even though it's under construction management role, because typically a construction manager will not take the responsibility on themselves for all of this risk and liability insurance, and he's going to have that directly with you. Now, there's a savings in that it's not, there's not a markup, and a lot of times because you're taking on this additional risk, yes, you need to have those. You just need to have that insurance and those checks and balances in place so that you don't find yourself into a sticky wicket when something happens like that. So does that make sense, Hon?
Yes. Yes, it does.
Okay. All right. So in a nutshell, construction is a nasty business. We all know that. It's unfortunate. It is what it is. There are a lot of great people out there, and there are some bad people out there. And you need to have the necessary liability coverage to protect yourself. Don't think that it won't happen to you. Because the minute you do, it does. And like the moral of the title of this place, liability, what you don't know will hurt you. It will hurt you. And it can be very, very, very painful. So take what you know, heard tonight. Go ahead, on.
Yeah, I mean, you when you run a practice, okay, there is, you provide liability insurance on the, you know, for your practice, your what your staff have done, what you have done, and all that stuff. So a construction site is basically a, you know, a work environment that are overseen by the contractor, and it involves a number of other people. So, you know, with the same mindset, you know, of your office, it's just transfer that to the construction site.
Right.
It's yours. Okay. You got to protect yourself. Jim?
Definitely. Protect yourself. Protect yourself during the design and planning phase. Make sure your team has professional liability insurance. Do not skip that step. Protect yourself during the construction. Make sure your general contractor or your, in this case, trade contractors, if you're using the construction management process, make sure they have the necessary liability insurances to be able to cover you for any situation that may occur while you're under construction. Then,
Jim,
when the whole thing is built, go ahead, man.
Jim, their liability insurance is different than the being bondable, right?
Oh yeah, bonding is a totally different thing, and that really has absolutely kind of, it doesn't really have much to do with liability insurance, and mostly has to do with the ability, the financial ability of the contractor to perform. And
gotcha.
That's kind of a thing when it comes to the point of, you know, when we talked about pay applications and how pay applications work, the owner gets a billed and ends up paying 30 days later. Well, that 30-day process, the contractor has to be financially stable to carry that for the 30 days. And so that's really when it comes into the issue of bonding and being able to cover, you know, they have the financial wherewithal to be able to cover the purchase of materials and the labor and all the things that are necessary for them to do what they do, temporary power, you know, just all the stuff necessary to make a building. So yeah, that's a totally different discussion and doesn't have anything to do with the liability side. So again,
cool.
Protect yourself. Make sure that you have your liability coverage in place. And if someone tells you you don't need it, think really hard on why. Why don't I need that? Han, you were going to say?
Talk to your attorney.
Talk to your attorney. Talk to your insurance agent. Talk to all the people that have to do with your team, and obviously in this case, you know, talk to your designer and as well as your builder. And if someone in that whole process says you don't need it, be warned. There better be a really good reason why not. So with that, Han, I'll leave you with the last word, unless there's something we missed.
I think I'm good. Okay, it's been very, very enlightening. Appreciate all of you spending the hours with us. Until next time, have a good evening.
You've been listening to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk with Jim and Han. To contact us and find out more info about upcoming shows, please log on to our website at www.hjtdesign.com. Until next time.